This conference is being recorded.
Great. So now for additional people to join. Who else just joined?
Hello, it's Ronetta from Indiana.
Hey, Ronetta.
Hi.
Debbie Wohlheit, Arkansas.
Great. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
We'll just give it three more minutes or so, I would say, and just to let everyone else join.
Fareed, can you review who we have on right now?
Sure. I believe so far we have Indiana, both Renetta and Russell, New Jersey, Phyllis, New York, Anne, and who just joined?
Rochelle from Montana.
Great. What was your name again? Sorry.
Rochelle.
Great. Is Jessica joining as well?
Yeah, she should be on in just a minute.
Okay, thanks.
I think there was, who just joined?
Oh, it's Debbie, my
boss service.
Oh, you got knocked off? Okay. We have a packed schedule, so let's just give it like another, then we'll start. Who just joined?
Hey.
Hi, this is Zach at Lake Research Partners.
Hey.
Hi, Zach.
Hey, Eileen. This is Anne again. Quick question: did anybody meet at?
I'm sorry. What was the last?
Leslie.
Oh, Leslie. Hi.
Oh, Leslie Schlesinger?
Yep.
Great.
And you know what, Anne, why don't I'll call you right after this call to something, a question about NEDAP?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, I'll call you right after this call.
Yes.
Anyone else who didn't, it looks like we've got representation from Arkansas, Indiana, Montana, New Jersey,
New York.
We are Connecticut, understandably, is they last minute could not be on this call because of everything that's going on with Dodd. And I think the only one we're missing right now is Virginia.
Colorado.
I know Carolyn should be getting. Are you on?
Congrats in Montana.
Who else
David
is joined?
They're from Lake Research. David Merman from Lake.
Okay.
Hey, Celinda.
Hi.
This is Jason from Main Street Alliance.
Okay, so begin. We'll start with a bit of a state of play with Heather, and soon go into Celinda's review of the message memo that we sent, and then there'll be a few more administrative items. We'll try to get this done as close to 3:30 as possible. It might run over this particular call 5 minutes or so, but I'll hand it over to Heather.
Really, great to be on this call as we're all starting up with the new year, and boy, the new year is starting up with a bang. First, some shout-outs to some of the people on the call. For New Jersey, Phyllis, as many of you know now, has become the on the Consumer Council for the Federal Reserve. It is a very smart choice. If they make their other federal financial decisions in this direction, we would be in good hands. Congratulations, recognition for your good work. And Renetta had the first of the drill down calls, and it was really terrific. She and Russell did a great job this morning, and a number of things to learn from that. For the new year, on the one hand, it starts off with this bang about Senator Dodd's decision not to run again. You may have seen our press release. We appreciate the kind of leadership he's provided, and we think that the bold vision that he laid out for reform in the original bill is exactly what now needs to be supported. There are many reporters who are asking, and you might even be able to get into a local story, people who are asking, well, is this good, is this bad? The Financial Services Roundtable is saying, oh, it shows that now they can get more of what they want. And what we've been saying is we think that it's his bold vision that needs to be supported, but what makes the difference is whether the voice of Main Street will be heard and whether people organize or just inside politics and money will dominate. And we think this will lessen the likelihood of inside politics and dominate. At least I then say under my breath, may it be so. But at the same time that Dodd is moving on in and won't run again, but will still be here for the length of this fight, the banking lobbyists, just 100 of them, 100 lobbyists met with Republicans in the Senate to say, you've got to, you know, we're not hearing from you, you've got to do more. Actually, I just realized, probably it was with members in the House, on roll call carried in, saying, telling the Republicans to speak out more against reform. So we've really got this same fight that we've had before. The priority going into this...
Lori Barnett.
Oh, and where are you from?
New Jersey Citizen Action.
Oh, New Jersey. Oh. Glad you're on. The fight is now very focused and contracted. We are, at least it's reported, we don't know if this will stick this way, but that January 26th may be the date for the markup. The bill will not get better after the markup when it goes to the floor or in conference committee. So the high point for us will be whatever happens between now and January 26th. The staffs are making the plans now. As you know, there are four task forces, dyads of Democratic and Republican members working on different issues. The more we hear about what's being worked on, the more concerned we are in a number of areas on too big to fail, on derivatives, on credit rating agencies, on investor protection. But the single greatest concern we have is about the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. That is a cornerstone for us. It is the prime focus. It is the public focus. And our argument is that Senator Dodd needs to stand strong, as do the other members, so that the priorities for us that shape our work is, number one, to know that we argue on the Consumer Financial Protection Agency as much as too big to fail and the casino economy and other issues are of concern, that this is really... prime focus. Number two, that the time really is now. We need both internal contact and we need visible contact. And in the next week, there needs to be some visibility in all of the states, as well as moving on the grass tops as we have before. We also need to move on the champions, New York and New Jersey, who are on the call. We're continuing our work there in order to reinforce the role of those champions. Including also the work on outreach to getting elected officials, religious leaders, veterans, donors, and an alliance with the small banks. That will tie into the Move Your Money campaign, which we'll hear about later. The only other thing I'd say on the framing, the broad framing of the context, is things are starting to move, in general, issues into the political framework, with the election starting to come up. And the more that this is understood as a political dividing line issue, the more we think there will be both attention to it, resources to it, and a greater ability for us to attract Senate attention to Main Street and not Wall Street. And with that, it's the message that we stay on and repeat, repeat, repeat that will be most important. And because of that importance, we are so glad that Celinda Lake is with us and David Merman and people from her firm, who's been just, she's one of the greatest pollsters in the country, has certainly been one of the greatest friends of social change efforts and really moving for progress. She's been an unbelievable ally for Americans for Financial Reform. And has put yeoman's work on making this helping to design this message memo that we hope becomes part of everything we say. And so in everything we want to do, we have to make sure that financial reform will protect working families and small businesses by reining in greedy, reckless behavior of big banks and Wall Street that cost millions of jobs by cracking down on abuses committed by credit card companies and the mortgage lending industry. So Linda, I wanted to know if I did okay by the points you provided. I turn it over to you with gratitude.
Well, thank you very much, and we are very excited to be working with you, and also want to really give a shout out to Matt Hogan and Jen Anzalone, who worked with us on this memo and have been really, really invaluable in their efforts on the messaging as well. A couple of key points about the messaging. The first thing is to remember that we are operating in a context where people are very, very positive in terms of responding. They have a storyline in their head about broad economic catastrophe that has been produced by this behavior. They're in a very populist mood about big banks and Wall Street and big business. And they are also very strongly engaged in protecting consumers and families. If anything, we need to be sure that we don't talk about these messages in too narrow a way. When we talk about them too narrowly in terms of specific consumer reforms, people often get confused. They don't know what derivatives are. They also can be more subject to attack. When we embed this in a bigger economic framework, that these policies were pursued by Wall Street, their lobbyists got loopholes, reduced regulations, prevented regulations, or rules, or controls. You can use a lot of words, but even if we use the dreaded R word, regulation, it's been testing pretty well. And then we want to cut back on these abuses. We want to make sure that this never happens again because of the impact on individuals, but also the impact on our broader economy. So we started in a very strong position. We want to link this to the economy. Populist messages are well responded to, and we do not have to worry about people not getting this story. A second thing about our messaging that we should remember is often we talk about individual cases, and we find that's more powerful. This is an area where you can illustrate with individual stories, but the overall message is more powerful than individual reform, individual personal stories. And the reason for that is when we say an individual story, people want to fix the person. They want to say, well, they shouldn't have taken out that mortgage they couldn't afford. They shouldn't have charged so much on their credit cards. When we talk about your economic frame, it relates to everyone, and people can read into it, well, I was being responsible and I was still impacted because this impacted everyone. And it had massive repercussions for our economy, and we're still trying to recover from that. And we should remember that despite what a couple of economists say about the economy getting better, America is still very, very pessimistic about the situation of the economy and very worried about the impact of the economy on themselves and their children and for the whole next year, what the future is going to look like. So if that's the context in which we're operating, and hopefully everyone has the memo in front of them, what we produced was a short version and a fuller version. And as Heather said, the strongest overall frame is that financial reform will protect working families and small businesses. Very important to bring in the small business piece. This is very, very popular with the public. By reining in greedy, reckless behavior of big banks on Wall Street, and big banks are a nice enemy. They have a solidly negative reputation, as does Wall Street. And, of course, anytime you can bring in CEOs, that's nice as well if you're engaged in a political debate. Also, we should note that people make a big distinction between big banks and community banks. And they think that this is, if anything, leveling the playing field to help their community banks who didn't engage in these behaviors. So the community banks have been a big sticking point with the politicians. The public's way ahead of the politicians on this and make a big distinction between the big banks that behave this way and their small community banks, which didn't, but are still often, like all small businesses in their areas, suffering. So this led to the cost of millions of jobs, a very important economic link, and that it produced a financial crisis, all of that language that really resonates with the public. And then we want to talk about cracking down on abuses committed by credit card companies, mortgage lending industry. It also helps to talk about predatory lenders who people know about, and in general, irresponsible corporations and CEOs. All of that language are referenced that people have solidly negative views towards, and all of them are actors that they think haven't paid the price and dumped it on everybody else as consumers, as workers, and as taxpayers. In the broader message, you'll notice that we bring in also not just losing jobs, but billions in taxpayer-funded bailouts and trillions in lost retirement savings. And people are very, very concerned about those. And the bailouts in general, very unpopular with the public because they think that there were not enough accountability measures put on those bailouts. And there should have been more reciprocity in terms of prevention of this ever happening again and certain kinds of behavior being excluded if people were going to get a bailout. Notice that we've also, in the broader message, talked about some of the kinds of things that have really bothered people. The bailouts bother people, deceptive practices of credit card companies and loans bother people, instability. The number one thing that people want in the economy right now is stability. They think you can't plan, you can't get ahead no matter what you're doing. Closing the loopholes and preventing additional loopholes. They readily would find believable that there were 100 banking lobbyists up there trying to prevent this kind of reform. And then finally, talking about the value of accountability, and that word accountability very, very strong with people. We also found the words transparency. Believe it or not, that was a time that no one would have understood what that meant, but in general, openness and transparency testing very well, and that we're insisting on that, accountability and openness or transparency in the financial sector. On the second page of your memo, you will see responses to attacks. Now, the interesting thing about these attacks is, first of all, the strongest response to the attack is really to reiterate our message. In other words, if we get our message out there, that protects against the attack. And frankly, none of the attacks were very strong when people were reminded just of our positive message. And this is a big gap between what's happening on the Hill and what's happening with real people. A lot of these politicians are very nervous about these attacks. The voters are very uninfluenced, frankly, by these attacks. And particularly some of the voters, like independent voters, who are in such play in this election. The strongest attack that we tested in the polling was actually the last attack, that it'll create a new bureaucracy and it'll lead to taxes and fees. And the strongest response on that attack was simply to remind people what it was costing them already, what it was costing them in terms of lost savings, what it was costing them in terms of lost jobs, what it was costing them in terms of their taxes, while CEOs were still getting bonuses and companies were still getting bailed out. So actually turning this on an aggressive, proactive attack, actually the best response. But even that attack had half the power of our positive messages, and we've summarized the strongest positive message for you in the beginning. On page 3, we also listed the kinds of components from all of the polling. There's been a number of different firms that have done polling on this, so we picked all of the most positive practices and language, and you can talk about these specifics. But don't go to the specifics before you've actually established the overall frame here. What we're really lacking is the overall emotion that comes from establishing this broader frame. And what we really need politically here is for everyone to get on the same basic message before they go to answer a question, before they go to talk about the specific, to reiterate that frame. And that will put us in the strongest positive position and actually holds up under attack, turns us into a voting issue, puts our opponents on the run, both electorally and in terms of the lobbying group. Finally, on page 4 of the message memo, we gave you some talking points just in terms of some of the electoral power of this issue. This is not our message, but as you're engaged in lobbying, these are some points that you can remind some of the elected officials of. But the strongest piece is to go back to that short version of our message and just to link this financial reform to the broader economic crisis that is very, very visible to people. And that linkage, very, very believable to them. They are very emotional about it, and they want to take steps to make sure it doesn't happen again. So let me stop there. David, anything I forgot or that we would underscore, and then any questions people have?
Nope. Good.
Do people have questions or clarifications? Anything for Celinda? It's a great resource to have Celinda on the phone with us.
Celinda?
Yeah.
Debbie Wellhide, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Senator Lincoln, there is not an Arkansan safe from seeing her this week, and I wondered if you'd shared any of these thoughts with her.
We haven't shared it with her.
Okay.
We actually have, let's pursue that. One of the things we're trying to figure out is what's the best way to get this message out. Clearly it's through your own field work. We spoke with Senator Dodd's staff and Senator Durbin's staff, and Senator Dodd felt people on, at least on his committee, already had different briefings. But we'd like to get this so there's almost one-on-one engagement with the members as well as a broad briefing. And Debbie, are you in a situation to encourage that this is something we could provide for her?
Oh, absolutely. She has an extensive public calendar this week. She was at Stuttgart, capital of the world, last night, and a state rep talked to her about it there. She was in El Dorado earlier today. She's going to be in Conway tomorrow. And we're trying to make sure that there's someone who will say, what are you thinking about this? I'm hearing about it locally, you know, as we start building more of a grassroots coalition. So we're trying.
Linda, would you be willing, if she were willing to have a few minutes of her time, would you be willing to do a one-on-one with her?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Was that Celinda responding, or?
Oh, that was Debbie Wilhite. I would be doing willing to do a one-on-one with her. We should probably talk about that. I don't know if we're the best ones to do it. But we'd be glad to have a one-on-one. We'd be glad to also provide the materials for someone to have a one-on-one. So we should talk about it offline. We may not be the best people to do that with her.
Maybe also since John Anzalone's firm was involved in it, they might also be willing to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So great, if someone from, perhaps if Debbie and Celinda can connect on that. And then I
sure.
also think that since the Senate list is such a short list of our focused efforts, Connecticut, Colorado, Indiana, Montana, South Dakota, Virginia, Arkansas, New York, New Jersey. At this point, if there are, Linda, again, you don't have to commit here, and I'm not wanting to impose.
Well, we would be very glad to do any one-on-one meetings with anybody. We should probably talk through which of those people. We also have Bennett and Broadnitz, because they did the SEIU work, which I think is very analogous. So we should probably divide this up and figure out which pollsters the best. I think we all agree on the messages. and who would feel comfortable doing it. But we certainly feel comfortable sitting down with any of the states that you mentioned. And we'd be very glad to do that, and we can alternate between David and myself in terms of scheduling. Yeah, we should probably, you know, just strategize with you and whoever else you want to get on the phone about who would be the best person for each member or staff.
Thanks so much, Celinda, for your generous response there. And it may be then that the other states that may not have spoken up, so Indiana, Montana, who's on the call, New York, New Jersey, if you can be in contact with the staff or the members in those of your states and offer them the opportunity for either a personal briefing for them or their staff, give them the material and to talk it through. One of our hopes is that this becomes a dividing line issue in the election, and it's seen as much as a political issue as well as a good government and good for the future of the country issue, so that it's taken as seriously as it is, especially tied to jobs, jobs in the future of the economy.
Heather, it's Phyllis. Could I ask a question?
Sure.
First of all, New Jersey does want to do it. I was talking to our plumber. But I have a question about that I wanted to ask Celinda about the message.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, you spoke about community banks, and there's been a lot being said about, you know, community banks being the good banks and the bad banks are the big banks. Some of us, and I'd be interested if other people feel the same way, don't necessarily believe that the community banks weren't getting bailed out and they weren't doing the bad loans, but they also haven't been necessarily serving the needs of our community before this all happened. So I'm curious, because they've now risen to the top as the positive.
Oh, they haven't risen to the top as a positive. I'm glad you asked for that clarification. I mention it only because I know some key members are pretty influenced by them. First of all, I would say this. The people's views about their community banks differ quite a bit state by state. And some states, for example, like some of the western states, it's like, what community bank are you talking about? Our nearest bank is Minneapolis. You know, some states like their community banks, some states don't have any idea what you're talking about. The community banks seem to have amassed themselves as a pretty effective lobby, or been put up as a pretty effective lobby for some of the senators, and so that's why I was raising it. But it's not a huge concern with the voter, and in fact, many of the voters think, some voters think, what community banks are you talking about? Some voters think, well, the community banks aren't that great either. And
well, they didn't make any loans.
Think, well, this is leveling the playing field for the good banks. So this is more an elite problem than a voter problem.
And Phyllis, the only way that we enter into it on the political organization side is we are in discussions with the Association of the Community Banks, and on the basis of the Move Your Money campaign, and on the basis that they are not in opposition to the financial reform and may actually be for financial reform, though not saying anything right now about the Consumer Protection Agency, which they're probably not for. We are in discussion with them about some joint efforts, because if there's not some major institutional thrust that's going to take this on in opposition to the biggest banks, it's going to be hard for us to move the political calculus that we need to move. So we're just looking for it as an alliance for the political impact. I mention it because it's one of the things we'd ask you to think about in your communities, because their voice is responded to by many of the members. Almost every lobby visit in D.C., the issue about the community banks being there has been raised.
Okay. I mean, I know it, and I've read it, and for us, it's like, what are you kidding? But I understand we have to deal with it. Okay.
Got to find allies someplace. But we're sensitive to the issue you're raising, too.
Hi, this is Jessica from Montana. And just a quick question. In terms of briefing the political this, can we set up meetings with either the state parties or the congressional candidates, too? I think that would be helpful if it starts becoming
if it starts becoming conventional wisdom that financial reform is a good voter issue?
I think we can do that as long as we document that we don't say Democrat versus Republican, and that we don't say we are for you versus someone else, and we make it explicit in any meeting that we would be available to brief anyone.
Okay.
And that if the Republicans were to ask you to brief them, we would brief them too.
I have a Republican state senator that we can use for that too.
That would be very beneficial. In fact, if you did that, it's certainly easier for you to brief someone else. And you might make a note about what occurred so there's a record of it.
Great.
Yeah, that's great.
Any other questions before we...
One thing about this partisanship, it does also help to say in response to people who are opposing these policies that they want to take us back to the failed Bush economic policies of the last 8 years. Now, there may or may not, and that still resonates really strongly with the public. Just going after Bush generally does not, but saying the failed Bush economic policies really does, and people have that category. I think there was a range of opinion about how which groups should use that or not. So you can see the failed economic policies the last 8 years, but if you can say the failed Bush economic policies, that's quite strong.
What we'd like also people to do is really take this memo and figure out how to use it in some capacity each week and report on that with your weekly report, whether it's in the meetings with the member or their staff, whether it's in letters to the editor or op-eds, press releases, that sort of thing. But really to make this your message, we don't want to get it, this is it.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks Celinda and David and all for your ongoing great work.
We have about 5 or so minutes of other items. Celinda, you're more than welcome to stay on, but I would assume that it's not really anything that you need to.
Great. Thank you, guys. And let us know if we can be helpful.
Thank you so much. Was there anyone at this moment right now, any last-minute folks that joined us that we didn't get roll call on?
Jenny in Virginia.
Oh, Jenny. Hi. Hello. Okay, so there's a few things that I wanted to mention. With the drill down calls, we have about more than half of them set up. If you don't have a date for yours, date and time set up, we do need that as soon as possible. Obviously, as Heather had mentioned, with markup expected possibly on the 26th, right now is when deals are being made, discussions are being done, and those meetings with these drill down meetings with strategy are really the most impactful. After the markup, we have far less, if any, influence on making this the strongest bill possible. So those dates and times are necessary, and that also helps us. We have Leslie. I think we have Leslie on the phone.
Yep, still here.
Leslie is one of our staffers that is working on coalition building and is working with both members of our coalition and doing further outreach. It's with veterans groups, farmers and rural groups, seniors, and we can help. Leslie and I can work with you on helping get people on your call. But those,
you know, one thing to mention on the Farmers Union, they actually have been lobbying for the community bank carve out here with them. So if they're nationally on board, this is Carolyn in Colorado, I think, as well. That would be helpful to know.
Okay, we'll double check that.
Yep.
Leslie, do you have anything in particular that you wanted to add about the work you're doing or what you need from the field?
I think you hit all the right populations. It sounds like what we really need is demonstration now that people really do care and it's not an insider ball game. So to the extent that there are things I can answer for you guys, say these groups care, governors in these states have already said supportive things. I can help you with that and do some of that homework. If you're hearing particular points on community banks, I can help you with stats on that. As Eileen said, we just want to help you sort of connect from D.C. to where you are. And I'm happy to help.
I think AARP getting involved would be really helpful, too. They've told us they're not really going to move until they have more of a push from their national.
Mm-hmm.
We've had mixed, I don't know, Leslie, do you want anything, say anything specific about AARP? Because it's...
I've gotten a little bit of a sense of that, too. I know the demands on them on a couple other issues that have been really passionate and time-consuming have been high. Hopefully that will not disappear since healthcare isn't exactly over, but maybe narrow, and we can draw them in by saying it's really now that we need the public support and the senior face. One of the ways that we've been, I think we'll be talking later, this emphasizing the local face of this issue is by trying to reach out to other members and other committees. For example, we've got supportive folks that are on the Senate Aging Committee. They can talk more about senior impact, what's happened to retirement plans, to the extent that we can put this people face on the story and keep saying it without getting drawn into the weeds, and to stay true to the focus that Linda and Heather and others have just articulated. I think that is the story we're trying to tell. So let me recommit to trying to connect the AARP from the D.C. side, because would have really helped in a couple of ways. I do agree. I'll work on it.
So right now our assignments are the drill down call, if step one is to make sure that there's a date and time, and that really should be set by today for sometime this week or next week. We can help also advertise that, and if there's particular weaknesses, a particular area that is not being represented in your call, let me know and we can work on getting that at least nationally, if not locally, representation. And those calls are about power mapping. Who are the people that have the most influence with those senators, the donors, the former staffers and consultants, certainly labor and religious leaders and others that can, first of all, give us feedback. So maybe their duty is going to be start and finish in this one call, but as Indiana was saying in their drill down call this morning, people took assignments, there's follow-up, there is further power mapping ideas going around for the next day or two to try to, you know, in pursuing that, as well as assignments for op-eds, placing letters to the editor, local business groups, and it runs the gambit. As well as actually something interesting in Indiana about pursuing a local credit union, particularly those that have strong labor ties. I wanted to also mention I sent you something on Move Your Money campaign. It's an FAQ document. We are partners with this Move Your Money campaign. You know, on the Huffington Post, you've seen it a lot. But if you can start thinking about how to get that word out about the Move Your Money campaign in e-activist messages, online, your state Facebook page would be good. We're also pursuing something. Consumers Union just sent me something just a few minutes ago about, you know, and again, this is something online. It would be a small amount of your time, but if you can get the word out, we'll be sending information about it. We were also hoping right now for you to get to focus on what local reporters there are on that work on financial issues to identify those folks so that we can start pitching stories, folks that might write even the personal financial story versus also, of course, the larger, more macro economic crisis story. So if you could start gleaning and mining those names.
Eileen, can I add one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Listening to the Indiana call this morning was really instructive to me, because I couldn't help thinking that it's so valuable to be able to describe even the things that we are talking about before they produce a commitment from a credit union or a community bank, before they produce the op-ed. Just the fact that the dialogue is happening, the buzz, connections being made, if we can gather all those individual hits and Kimberly is able to share those with the folks that are talking to that particular Senate office, and we can sort of, you know, get this circular buzz sustaining itself back and forth, state to national. I thought that was a nice way to operationalize immediately things that may take a little while, but right now, just the fact that they're even happening and underway and others can talk about that is valuable.
Do people have any other questions about that? One last thing that I have administratively. I don't know if we have Grace on the line. I can. Grace, are you there?
No, she's not.
Okay, I'll just mention that our sponsor, the Public Interest Projects, or also known PIP, our liaison there is Maritza Guzman. And she will be calling you directly about your contracts, probably starting Thursday and or possibly more like starting Friday of this week and throughout next week. If you do not hear from her, and that's in part to expedite your payments, the contract for this month starts on January 4th and goes through the 31st. Those contracts presumably will be renewed. But we do, unfortunately, have to just financially have to work on a month-to-month basis. But, of course, we do very much expect that this work is absolutely following through February and beyond. So you'll be receiving a call or email from Maritza Guzman, like I said, over the next late this week, early next week. And if you do not hear from her, you can let me or Fareed or Grace know that. If you don't hear from her by next Thursday. I think that was really the administrative announcement. Are there any other questions that folks have? I'll be sending you follow-up notes, in part taken by Fareed, with some action items. This call is recorded, so we'll give you a link if you want to review what Celinda Lake was discussing earlier, and we really appreciate everyone's work. Any general questions, anything out of the, it doesn't have to be on the agenda. Okay, everyone, thank you very much, and please do get us your drill down date and time, and work on the, anyone who has a call, please do collect your RSVPs. We'd like to see who is on your call before the call happens. We appreciate it. Thank you.